This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With all due respect.
Yeah, he dropped an all due respect in there. Let's say whatever I want, and then with all due respect.
I don't care what you think. And he shouldn't run the team based on what the headline writers or the talking heads have to say. But I thought Steve came out swinging yesterday. I thought there was a defiant tone the entire way. And defiant from a media standpoint, well, that's interesting. There's some juice there, right? Some little subtle shots at the players and the fact that they didn't perform. Defiant in that, you know, he's comfortable with what they did at the deadline. Comfortable with sticking to the plan. Defiant's interesting if you're in the media. But if you're a fan, sticking to the course and justifying everything you've done, miss me with that. I did not like the press conference yesterday if I'm a fan of this hockey team. And we'll roll out the red carpet and let you guys weigh in. But hearing stay the course is a really tough listen.
It is, because it's been such a long course. And it goes back to even before Iserman was here. But since he's been here and we bought into the Iser plan, what's the end goal? When is that goal supposed to be reached? Like, we all want to have, that's the importance of setting goals. And I know that, yes, he has this goal of reaching the playoffs and building a team that doesn't just get to the playoffs, but eventually competes year in, year out for a Stanley Cup. But you've got to do it in a timely fashion. And the fans have been very patient.
More than patient. Look, when he says the goal was to compete for the playoffs, and we did. Great. You met your own low bar. John, I hope we're one of the 50 best radio shows in the city. I mean, if you set the bar low enough, you can achieve the goal. You strive for more. And I wish I would have heard a general manager more urgently striving for more, not defiantly defending what he's done so far. That's what bothered me most.
Well, I think I said this last year. I said at the beginning of the season. It's, you just want to feel as a fan that the general manager or the franchise itself has the same sense of urgency that you do. And we're not talking about 6 years ago, but I think Red Wings fans understood it was going to take some time.
You listened to the press conference live on the station.
Yeah.
I was listening to the station too, and Mike Errico dumped out of it. And one of the first takeaways they had was he sounds like a guy with a lifetime contract. I can't fight that allegation.
No.
He speaks like a man who has a lifetime contract. I don't like that as a concept. I think you should always be trying to justify the position you're in with results and not promises. Because this is a stretch now of consistent losing. And he said he is concerned about that and that becoming culture, but also said, well, this is what a rebuild is. And it's like, you know what, dude? With all due respect... We know what a rebuild should look like. We can watch rebuilds with every other team in the city, with the other teams in hockey. You're being lapped by teams in your own division. With all due respect, deliver results.
Yeah.
And you should be held to that. And I don't care that your last name's Iserman. Iserman, the player, has to be separated from Iserman, the general manager.
Yeah. When he threw out there, well, there were two other teams that didn't make moves at the trade deadline, and they made the playoffs. Like, I think he was using that as, you know, a positive that, like, they could have or should have, maybe started on the players. And I think we actually have that.
Yeah,
let's play that one.
The audio. I may even grant him that point, but I just, John, there's a reflex that I have when I hear him talk now where everything is a justification for how he's done this, right? Well, I shouldn't have added and couldn't have added. And the players should have just made the playoffs on their own because I built such a good team and it's their fault for being lousy and not winning. Steve, maybe you didn't put the right mix.
Yeah.
Like when Stoney asked him about pro scouting. And he goes, well, you know, it's been a mixed bag. Some of the short-term deals have been good. The inference there is the long-term deals haven't been. says we're going to have to be choosier with some of these deals. Well, boy, I love hearing that with a bunch of cap space that you guys are going to be cautious in free agency was the inference there. And then he admitted that this pro scouting staff is like learning on the job. Steve, this isn't minor league hockey.
Yeah.
This isn't a minor league organization. This is the Detroit Red Wings. Let's not be figuring it out on the fly.
And it's a very passionate fan base. And so yesterday, I know a lot of people, because we had talked about it, we told everybody, hey, 2 o'clock, this is when it's going to happen. I know Doug and Gator did the same thing. Hey, 2 o'clock. Mike and Rico opened the show. In moments, we're going to have Steve Yzerman. When you heard Steve Yzerman talk, what type of emotions did you feel in that moment? How did you respond? And now, since you've had a night to sleep on it, how do you feel about what you heard yesterday from Steve Yzerman? I want to know from fans, what are you thinking this morning?
We'll get the phone calls in the mix. 248-539-9797. It was a very long press conference. There's a lot of things you could have latched onto that may stand out to you, that may have sent you into feeling a certain way. Maybe you were reassured. Yeah. Maybe you're reassured because, hey, Steve is sticking to his plan and the Yzer plan, and he knows what he's doing, and we trust Steve. Maybe you got encouragement. Maybe you're different than I am in that way. I felt like we're going to get more of the same old, that this plan is going to stay on its course with no additional urgency, and we'll get there when we get there, damn it, and hold it. You can use the bathroom when we arrive. It kind of had that tone. There was a defiant tone from Yzerman, and you make of that what you will. Let's get to John in Detroit. John, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good, good. Yeah, I'm looking at my Yzerman signed jersey here. I love the guy. I've loved him for decades. But he is just like the organization. The Illiges, there's no urgency. Where's the Detroit district? Where are all the buildings that were supposed to be? Where's the neighborhood they were supposed to build? And, you know, Steve's been there for decades as well. I know he left, he came back. But there needs to be more urgency with this hockey team. And they need to take these prospects, start playing them, and show something. Get in the playoffs. It's been too long. It's time to pull the trigger. Just is. And I love the guy. And I think he can do it, but a short leash right now.
Short leash for you, maybe short leash for me. I don't believe that is the belief of the man himself or the organization itself.
And I know the question wasn't asked. Do you expect to make the playoffs?
I would love to hear the answer, but you know what the answer would have been.
Well, okay, but I'm not going to put words in his mouth. The question wasn't asked, so we don't know what the answer is
right
now.
We can tell you what he has previously
said.
Yes,
but we don't know what that answer would be right now. But, and timing is not great, and maybe not the fault of Steve Yzerman in regards to it being the 100th year, 10 years next year since they've made the playoffs. If there's not a sense of urgency going into this season, then I don't believe that there ever will be. Like if you don't understand what it, and it's not that he doesn't understand. I guess I'm struggling to find the right words because I am frustrated as well, as every fan is.
I think he is too.
Well, I don't doubt that because he was a competitive player. Do anything to win, competitive player.
Yeah, play on a busted up knee, limp through the playoffs.
We're waiting for that sign of do anything to win from the current position that he's in. And we just haven't seen that.
We haven't, and that's the issue, is it needs to be acted on this summer in some way. I think Burchie asked him a question about, hey, seeing Ottawa and Montreal, teams that are maybe more on, have previously been put in your tier of
competitiveness.
Rebuilder, whatever you want to say. Seeing them make the playoffs, does that add, I'm going to butcher what Burchie said, but something, does this put more pressure on you? Does this put you in a position where you need to do more? And he said, there's something significant. And he said, yes, but it's easier said than done. So there's always the excuse built in that, well, we'll do the best we can, but you know, if we don't, then you'll just wait a couple more years. Like Kosa, probably not ready for this season. The Wallman explanation was no and no, nothing to see here. Pro scouts learning on the job. Players have more to give. Not that we misevaluated. They just didn't play to what we thought. What if you were wrong? Is that ever an option that you were wrong? No, it's the players haven't lived up to what I signed them to do. Translation, you were wrong.
Well, I think there was a kind of a backdoor admission that when he talked about the short term and the long term, like, you know, and the inference was that some of those long term deals didn't work out. Like, okay, clearly they were wrong on some of those players.
To the phones we go. Jeremy and Wayne. Jeremy, what did you take out of it?
So I am going to go to back to the Larkin comments about Heisman. So I did not like how he said we needed to look for a new player, and then not even thinking about the best player available is Dylan Cousins. Like, who is Heisman going to get rid of for Dylan Cousins? He's not a game changer for the Red Wings.
Mm-hmm.
So hit Larkin going cold. He finally played 82 games. He went cold for 9 games, didn't even get a point. Yeah. If he was hurt, he shouldn't have played. He should have said he was hurt. He was just taking up a first-line roster spot. That's crazy.
You're right.
I just think Heisman needs to get rid of his pro scouting department. Signing Justin Hall and Tarasenko was a horrible idea. I just don't think it's all Eiserman's fault when the last 3 years they choked in March. 2 years in a row now they were in a playoff spot. This year they went on a 7-game win streak twice and then decided to go on an 8-game losing streak. So that's my thought on it. I think it's more of a captaincy and a leadership than Eiserman.
More on Larkin than Steve.
Yes, that's more it for me. I think Eiserman's made some horrible moves, though. I'm not saying he's a saint. Yeah. But
well, I think there's blame to go around, I think is how I would put it. Like, I know I've defended Larkin in that I like that he was vocal about his concerns. I think we are reaching that point where, yes, the players need to have a voice and the captain of the team should be the one to deliver that voice, even if it's unpopular, even if he didn't play his best. But it doesn't let him off the hook because he has to play his best. And Eiserman didn't mince words. I mean, he said, Greg, do we have the cut where he talks about he's got to lift the morale, the players have to lift the morale? We might not have that specific cut, but he says like it's his, like these, he didn't say Larkin by name, but our highest paid players, our best players, it's their job to boost morale. In other words, don't look at me to save you. And I thought McClellan echoed that not only at the deadline, but yesterday. McClellan was shooting from the hip.
I love listening to Tom McClellan talk because it's no nonsense.
Yeah.
And he may filter a little bit, but it's straight to the point.
No, I mean, he
no BS.
He was cussing up there, and he's talking about leaving points on the table, and he said, this group, when it goes good, it's good. But at the first sign of trouble, they go in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw it. He said this team was good enough to make the playoffs, kind of echoing what Eiserman said, and they didn't. So the blame gets shifted back to the players.
Well, there's enough blame to go around on every level.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see what this team is going to be with a full offseason and a training camp with Todd McClellan. Because I do think that he is, you got to have toughness to be able to develop that toughness. And I'm curious as to where it's going to come from. But if anybody can find it and develop it, I believe Tom McClellan will add that to the identity of this team.
We got some open lines. I know Red Wing fans are already flooding the lines. We'll get to you guys. 248-539-9797. Texture says, not to sound hysterical, do you know who else was defiant after years of failure? Troy Weaver, Laz in Detroit. Leave Steve alone. You guys haven't read the whole book yet. Signed, Brad and Alan Park. It's going to be one of those days, huh? It's 97.1.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series, where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.